The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
It is the confession that actually precedes the experience of salvation. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people want to be saved first, delivered first, healed first, but really God said it's the confession that opens the door for the experience of salvation, which is not just one day I'm going to go to heaven. It means everything that's included in the package of salvation.
Mark Hinkins reveals the tremendous power of the Great Confession.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Belinda Lane is with me again today. How you doing today? You all right? Yep.
Randy, I'm doing awesome.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because what you say
matters.
It does matter.
It does matter. And not only does it matter, I'm going to quote something to you.
Okay.
Psalm 119, 105. Mm-hmm. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Do you know why, Randy, I wanted to quote that to you?
Tell me why.
Because I read a book that reminded me how important quoting the scriptures is in your life.
I think you have that book in your hands right now.
The Great Confession with Mark Hinkins and his wife, Trina. We're so glad that you're with us today.
So good to be here.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I was telling you earlier in the green room that I've got some friends, a lot of friends are like, how come Mark and Trina Hinkins have never been on Life Today? I'm like, I don't know. I don't have a good answer. So we're so thrilled that you're finally here.
We're so glad you're here.
We're glad to be here.
And really, truly, I'm really not kidding. Reading your book, it was, as somebody who has been a believer for many years, it was just a good reminder of the words that I say matter, and not just that the words that I say matter, but finding scripture to encourage and to help with any situation. That is what matters, that we're using scripture.
Yeah. Well, come on, man.
Yes,
what's the Great Confession?
Tell the audience about it. Tell us about that.
Well, really, the whole book is about the Great Confession. That Christianity among all religions is called the Great Confession. That confession is really in Romans 10, 9 and 10. In other words, when most people think about confession, they think about your faults, your failures, your sins. But there's so much more in the New Testament about your confession of faith.
That's right.
And so that's really how you're saved, by this Great Confession. I like to say it's the one confession that'll keep you out of hell and get you into heaven. And that's in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. It says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, it is the confession that actually precedes the experience of salvation. A lot of times people want to be saved first, delivered first, healed first, but really God said it's the confession that opens the door for the experience of salvation. So in the mind of God, Jesus has already done everything he's going to do about your salvation. But you receive it when you simply confess, Jesus is my Lord.
All right, I have a confession in the negative sense.
Most people do.
I have said things at times that I really didn't believe, you know, and maybe my wife will be like, you know, what do you think about this? I'm like, oh, it's great, you know? I'm like, I don't believe it.
Do I look good in this dress?
Right. Well, we're going to get that specific, but you get the idea. But I mean, seriously, sometimes we do say things that we don't really believe it. We sure don't act like it. How critical is it that that confession be paired with an actual belief, as the scripture says, because we actually and say what we believe more generally than you know, sometimes our words can be a little empty.
Yeah, so the what we would call the confession of your faith, it's not just the initial confession, because Hebrews 3:1, Hebrews 4:14, Hebrews 10:23, Hebrews 13:15, 1 Timothy 6:12. Those scriptures say to hold fast to your confession. The Amplified Bible actually says hold fast. Use the profession in the King James, but the Amplified says hold fast to your confession of faith, without wavering, because he is faithful that promised. In other words, no matter how you feel or how things look, you say, my confession, in other words, is going to determine my possession. So I'm going to make a bold confession, no matter how I feel, that Jesus is my Lord, that his precious blood has cleansed me from sin. Mm-hmm. In other words, your faith has to have a voice or speak. Dad Hagin said something, because he taught us about faith when I was 17, from Mark 11, 22, 23. Some people think he actually wrote that verse, but Jesus said in Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. And then in verse 23, Jesus makes faith so simple, you actually need a theologian to get confused about it. Right. In other words, Jesus said, here's how faith works. Jesus said, whosoever shall say, unto this mountain be removed, be cast to sea, shall not doubt in his heart, believe those things that he saith will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So Jesus mentions the saying part of faith three times, and the believing part only once.
Interesting.
You say, well, why? He said, well, because you can actually school yourself into faith with your own words. In other words, when you have doubts or feelings or circumstances, instead of speaking your fears or your feelings, take the Word of God and put that in your mouth. I like to say that God's Word is a spoken thing. It did not come out of God's pen, it came out of God's mouth. In other words, it was spoken before it was written, and it was written so it could be spoken. In other words, the Word of God needs a voice. And Jesus said that voice of faith will change the scenery in your life. That whosoever shall say, believe those things he saith, he shall have whatsoever he saith. In other words, the Lord said something to me like this. He said, your faith may not prevent all mountains, but it will move all mountains. In other words, we have situations in our lives that come up, even in my wife, our life, that when we see that, we're like, wow, where did that come from? How can I overcome that? And yet, when I learned how faith works, then I said, what I need to do is take the Word of God, put it in my mouth. I call that mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
That's awesome.
You breathe in the faith of God and breathe in the life of God. And so the voice of faith, which we would call the authority of the believer, gives you authority over devils and over demons, and even to move mountains or change the scenery in your life. In other words, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit will actually take the victim out of your voice. He'll take the whine out of your voice, and he'll put victory in your voice. So you and I have been trained to make the initial confession, Jesus is my Lord. But yet Paul says in Hebrews, hold fast to that confession. In other words, don't turn loose of it.
Right.
It may be challenged by your circumstances, but no matter how you feel, hold on tight. That means keep saying the same thing, that Jesus is my Lord, he's my Redeemer. So you would have faith in God, faith in the Word of God, faith in the blood of Jesus. Make a bold confession that maybe you feel like you failed and you've made too many mistakes, but you would say, I have faith in the blood of Jesus. And you would say, the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin, from all unrighteousness. Actually, Revelation 12, 11 says, we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our confession.
Yeah. Okay, Trina, I want to ask you, because this is, I mean, this is really encouraging for the believer watching today who needs some hope, but they're experiencing, they've gone around that mountain time and time again, and it's not moving.
Yeah.
How would you encourage them that, I love what you said, Mark, about it not just being the confession of faith, but that it's the spoken word over and over, almost saying it until you believe it. So how would you encourage the one who feels like they've just gone around the mountain so much
and they're not seeing it move? Yes, and you just feel weary, feel like nothing
nothing's changing, nothing's moving. But God never moves. God never changes. His word never changes. One foundation scripture I have is Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and it healed them. You know, there's many times, you know, we come in our lives against situations that are sorrowful or unchangeable, but his word is even more unchangeable. So recently even, I encountered, you know, my feelings feel this way. I don't know if I need help. What do? Open up the word of God. And that word speaks, it's alive and it's powerful. And the Holy Spirit knows everything we think. He knows our past, our future, and he has the fitting answer for it, whatever it is. I remember even yesterday, opened the scriptures. Okay, God, I need some help here. There's some situations I don't like. Okay, and I begin to read the word. I just begin to open it up and read the word. And it's God talking to you.
Yes.
And it fit just what I needed. And I said, okay, I got a grip now.
So what I hear you saying is feelings are real. They can be there, but they can't rule.
Right.
They can't rule. Right. The faith has to rule.
The word of God is greater. Amen.
You keep bringing it back to scripture.
Yes.
And I think I want to stress that because there are some people I think that can misunderstand or perhaps abuse the power of the tongue in the sense that they speak, they want to speak something in an existence that's not, not godly, right?
Or
that's just their own desire. And, and we do express our desires to God, I get that. But you keep saying scripture. So when you talk about confessing, you're talking about really confessing what God has said.
You get a word from God and you just say, my confession brings me into agreement with God. In other words, I like to say this, God has a reputation for taking some real losers and making them champions. Or you could say it this way, God will call you things that there's no evidence it exists. Example is an angel shows up to Gideon and says, Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor. Gideon's like, there is certainly no evidence that exists. And so Gideon's and I kind of argue, and he says, I'm the worst family, worst tribe, and I'm a failure. But when Gideon finally agreed with God, when he did that, he became a champion. In other words, what Christ has done for us and the revelation of who we are in Christ, that we're a new creature in Christ. We're redeemed by the blood, that God sees us through the blood. So a lot of times for those changes to take place, you have to agree with God. You have to see yourself in Christ.
Actually,
see yourself through the blood.
Humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God.
You say, I'm going to agree. I don't feel like it. Don't look like it. But I am who God says I am. I agree with God. I have what he says I have. So in Paul's letters or Paul's revelation, he talks about who you are in Christ or your identification with Christ. So your confession means to say the same thing. So let's just say your identical confession brings you into your identification with Christ, which is going to bring you to your destination. But if you study the four Gospels, the amazing thing I found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is Jesus literally found himself in the scriptures and then constantly made a confession of who he is, where he came from, and where he's going. In other words, if you want to follow Jesus, he's constantly saying, I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection of life. My Father is greater than all. Then Jesus opened the Bible, the scriptures, and turned to Isaiah 61 and found the place where it was written and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Every believer can do exactly the same thing Jesus did, is open your Bible, find the place that it is written, and say, that's me right there. And then make that confession, even in something like Ephesians 2:10, that you're the workmanship of God created. You're not a piece of trash. Come on, you're the workmanship of God created in Christ. So even though you may not feel like it, when you imagine if you've received amazing grace, then it must be amazing. Right. You know? Right. So quit acting like you're not amazing if you've received amazing grace.
That's right.
So there must be some amazing about you.
Yeah. One thing that you said that I loved in the book was, just as unique as my fingerprint is to me, nobody else has my fingerprint. In the spiritual realm, no one else has my voice print.
It's true.
And I loved that because it made me feel like every time I confess something about who God is and who I am to Him, I am uniquely that to Him.
My voice.
Yes.
I like to say your voice is your address in the Spirit. When you lift your voice, the example I got that from is Acts 16. You know the story. Paul and Silas in prison, been beaten, backs bleeding, hands bound, feet bound. And it says at midnight, they lifted their voice and they began to pray and sing praises. And the power came down to their address while they were singing praises. So I like to think of it this way. When I get to heaven, check out the video. Paul and Silas in prison, and they're beaten and hurting. And they say, Mr. Devil, you did a good job. You beat me, you got me bound, but you made one mistake. You should have taped my mouth shut. Because as long as I can move my mouth, I can move a mountain. So when a believer lifts their voice, no matter what the circumstances are, the voice of faith will break the chains, break the bondages, change the scenery. Paul says it's not just something you do once. You hold fast to that confession.
I like that you keep stressing that. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know that worked for those guys in the Bible.
Yeah.
Has this ever worked for you guys?
Yeah. Yes. We have to live this way.
Give me an example of maybe a time where you had to start speaking in agreement with the Scripture in order to really see your circumstances line up with the Word of God.
Well, with me, I mean, it started out when I was 17 years old because my dad's a pastor, my grandpa's a pastor, I'm raised in church, I know the Bible, I know all the Bible stories, you can start when I can finish it. But at 17, my dad and four deacons had to come get me out of jail.
I think it was his mother speaking the word.
That's right.
So my mother would do this. She would say, I plead the blood of Jesus. That means I have faith in the blood of Jesus. And that means I rest my case on the power of the blood of Christ. So when you lift your voice and you apply that blood, it began, I was 17 years old, I learned how to live by faith. How to walk by faith.
Well, Dad Hagin taught us. You couldn't hang out with him anymore.
I had to change friends.
You got to get better.
Smith Wigglesworth said something.
The word should change your life.
Yeah. Smith Wigglesworth said something that just fascinated me. He said, any man, any person can be changed by faith, no matter how they may be fettered. Fettered is just the old English word, bound. Any person can be changed by faith, no matter how they may be bound. That means the devil cannot make a bondage that your faith cannot break off of you. So that's why constantly he wants to keep you into doubt and unbelief and fear. But the moment you put the word of God, we just call the word of faith, by the way, and you put that in your mouth and you start declaring, number one, Jesus is my Lord. That means sin cannot dominate me. Satan cannot dominate me. Christ has redeemed me. Don't just believe it. You have to say it.
Yeah.
It's your confession.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you point out that we have to say it because, you know, a lot of what we do around here is what you call like humanitarian type work, right? We're drilling water wells. We're feeding people. Helping. And right now we're in the middle of a campaign to drill more water wells.
Sure.
But we absolutely speak the word of God to these people, both one-on-one and then corporately.
Yeah.
It is foundational of what we do. And by the way, your book, you've donated a bunch of books to us. I want to say thank you for that. The Great Confession is available if you would like it with your gift today towards Water for Life. But I'm curious, why did you volunteer? Not everybody can do that. I appreciate you doing that.
Well, I've seen your dad, your mom, many years, and I admired their faith and their vision, and now they're helping people who have no help and giving them water, giving them food. And so I thought, boy, I would like to be a part of that. I'd like to help. And so I see what they're doing and all the partners of your ministry, and it's not just water, but it's the living water.
It's the living water.
It's Jesus.
That's it, man.
Going to people in villages that you may never meet till you get to heaven.
That's right.
I know. We are laying up treasure in heaven. Well, I want to invite you into that right now. In fact, I want to take you over to a recent trip to Africa, where I saw the situation firsthand. And then I want you to consider preaching God's love both in word and in deed. Watch this.
How many children do you have?
I have 5 children, but one of them is dead, so I remain with 4.
Left with 4. I'm so sorry. I don't understand all of the things that happen physiologically, but the mother recognizes the same signs in her 9-month-old that she saw in her 1.5-year-old son before he died. This is the urgency that we're facing right now. This is the reality in places just like this. They need clean water, and they need it now. If someone was able to bring clean water to your village, what would you say to that person? If this little one has any hope for a future, we have to provide an alternative, because drinking this water is death. We want to give mothers like this hope for their children. I'm asking you to reach out and give the best gift you can. Support Mission Water for Life, and know that when you do, you will be helping little ones just like this.
You know, when you see something like that and you look at the scale of the problem, they say over 2 billion people lack access to clean drinking water. But Belinda, when you meet that one mother that has lost a child, you realize how personal this situation is.
It becomes so personal. And then you also see how much hope she still has. She said, clapping for joy to think that there could be an answer. Mm-hmm. You know, holding her child who has the same signs as the one who passed away, I can't imagine the fear that would grip her heart. And so then imagine the joy that she could, the hope she has by thinking that something could change this for them.
Yeah, and you know, they feel helpless because in a lot of situations, they're doing everything they can.
Right.
And you know, you see pictures like that and you think, well, yeah, why don't they try to filter it or try to boil it? They do.
They've probably tried some things that help.
But the reality is, it doesn't take long. Even here in the United States or in the West, if there's a water situation, I mean, panic sets in with a very short amount of time.
And we have
water everywhere,
right?
So the reality is that they are in a situation where there's a simple solution. And the solution is you and I coming together and saying, you know what? We have the means to go put a well into a village like the one you just saw. And we follow up. We do what we say. We've been doing this for many years, addressing the problem one at a time. Our goal this year is to drill 350 wells across 20 countries. We can only do that if you would just come alongside us and say, you know what? I want to be a part of that. I want to give a mother hope. I want to give a child a clean water that they can drink. Will you come alongside us right now? Let me show you how your help can make a difference, how simple it is. A gift right now of $48 will actually provide clean drinking water for, on average, 10 people. Now, how do I say that? Well, the average cost of a well is $4,800, and there's a lot of factors in there, a lot of places where the water can be hard to get to, a lot of places that are difficult to get to. But we've been doing this long enough. We know how to get into the rural areas, how to get down past the surface water into the truly clean drinking water, and how to construct a well that will last on average 70 years. We're just asking that you do what you can. If we all do what we can, amazing things will happen. We will give hope, we will give life as we give water for life.
Every day, far too many lives are lost to waterborne disease, and tragically, children under the age of 5 are the most vulnerable. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give desperate mothers hope and precious children a future by helping provide clean, life-giving water before it's too late. Our goal this year is to drill 350 water wells in areas where the need is greatest, but it won't be possible without you. Today, your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10, and $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. In thanks for your gift of any amount, we'll send you Prayers for My Spiritual Health. This beautifully crafted prayer book will meet you in the places where anxiety, grief, and spiritual weariness run deep, guiding you through prayers for inner peace, emotional healing, and intimacy with God. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Your Life of Prayer bundle. This collection includes Prayers for My Spiritual Health, along with Prayers for My Physical Health and the Life Prayer Journal, three companions to help strengthen your walk with Christ. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our inspiring bronze sculpture, The Good Shepherd. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Hey, everybody, won't you stand with everyone here at Life Outreach International in their magnificent Water for Life program, helping people all over the world, millions of people, have clean water. That's what Jesus would want us to do.
I do hope you will go online or go to the phone. Make the best gift you can. We can really change people's lives, save lives, but we can't do it without you. So please do that. And we would love to get you Mark Hankin's book, The Great Confession. So if you will request it, Belinda, I want everybody to get this. It's so encouraging.
I'm encouraged. I'm built up. It makes me really excited because there can be a new layer to my relationship with the Lord, and that I get to partner in a different way.
It's really exciting.
And it's easy.
Amen. Thank you for joining us.
Amen. Appreciate you guys joining us. Come back. We'd love to see you again here on Life Today.
The doctor said, "It appears that you have an inoperable brain tumor." I always say it was like those words came like a fiery dart.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.